verse 1, we're familiar with this story. Verse 1 says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." So that means that Mount Horeb was called the mountain of God. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now notice what the Lord says. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, all the ites, just, a bunch of them there. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Would you pray? Father, thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Spirit of God that has been so rich in the midst of the church. I pray that you would now, in this portion of the service, you'll bless your people afresh and anew, and God, touch their ears and their hearts to hear and to receive your word, and touch your servant that we might be able to preach it. And oh God, we pray that the power of your word and the Spirit that agrees with that word will now find a lodging place in every heart, and that you will move with deliverance and power in the midst of the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said in verse 2, as Moses was keeping the flock, in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I want to talk about the burning bush. The burning bush. Hallelujah. May I say first of all tonight that this bush was made by the Lord. How many believes that He's the Creator? You believe He created all things? Do you believe what it said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29 that He made every tree, every bush? I mean, I think He made it all. Hallelujah. He's the Creator. He made it. John 1 and 3 says that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to say tonight, when I preach to you about the burning bush, that I see some things here as I look at these scriptures. I see some things that I think parallels the life of the church, and the church ought to be like this bush. Now, this bush was made by the Lord, and so has the church been made by the Lord. According to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said that He would make the church, He would build the church. Upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. And so the Lord made this bush. And I want you to notice where this bush was placed that burnt with fire. This bush was on the mountain. It wasn't any mountain. It was the mountain of God. It was on the mount called Horeb. Hallelujah. It was in an elevated place. It was on the mountain of God. Amen. Well, you know, this old world is sunk and degraded and fallen. But I want you to know the church has risen out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. I think you could testify the same as the psalmist did in the 40th Psalm in the second verse when he said, He had brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Hallelujah. I think you could testify with the psalmist on that, can't you? Hasn't He brought you up? I want you to know this world is degraded. Oh, but we are now in the church of Jesus Christ that He has brought up. Hallelujah. Elevated. Amen. The Bible said in Exodus 34 and verse 26, the church is referred to as a hill there, elevated for all to see. And that's what He expects the church to be. We are, as the people of God and the church of Christ, Jesus our Lord, we are the light of the world. Jesus Himself said that we are a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. Oh, glory to God. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 said, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to talk about the burning bush tonight. Amen. As we look at this bush, we find that it, where it was, not only was it on the mountain, but it was in a wilderness place. Amen. Oh, it was the backside of a desert. Amen. And so, when we think of a desert or a wilderness, what do we think of? I mean, it's dry, brother. It's barren. Amen. There's not much there. I mean, that's why Moses wasn't too concerned at first when he saw the bush on fire. He was used to seeing such sights. I believe that. Amen. I mean, this was a dry climate. Ah, but I want to tell you, the church is in the world. But and the world is likened unto a wilderness because of its barrenness. Amen. But oh, I want to tell you, amen, tonight, that Jesus Christ has told us we're in it, but we're not of it. Hallelujah. Israel passed through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. And so the church of Jesus Christ is passing through this whole wilderness on our way to the promised land. Can somebody say amen tonight? Hallelujah. You see, when the prophets talked about the church, they talked about it being in a wilderness state. Isaiah chapters 41 and also chapter 43 talked about the church. Amen. It spoke of
waters breaking out of the wilderness. Hallelujah. Amen. Ezekiel 34:25 says, they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. But I like what verse 26 said. There shall be showers of blessing. Hang on, friend. You're in a wilderness. This world is a wilderness. But God said, I'm going to give you showers of blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, sometimes this whole world so full of sin and so full of sorrow and so full of heartache. But hey, God's promised some showers of blessing in the midst of it. Glory to God. I think we experienced some of it tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I was kind of feeling like I was a little worried about myself. Really, to tell you the truth, I kind of feel like a killjoy this weekend. I've heard how wonderful services it's been recently and the power of God being poured out, and I've preached and it seemed like not a whole lot happened. And I was wondering about me. Amen. But oh, the power of God began to fall in the midst of the church tonight. Amen. Oh, I want you to know God's sending showers of blessing. Hallelujah. Hosea 2:14 says, I will bring her into the wilderness. I want to tell you, sometimes God wants us to come into the wilderness. I guess sometimes we've got to learn how to appreciate the blessings of God. Sometimes we got to walk by faith through the fiery trial. Amen. He said, I'll bring her into the wilderness. But when I do, he said, I will speak comfortably unto her. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I feel that way sometimes. I feel like I'm walking right in the midst of the wilderness. But oh, he speaks so comfortably and sweetly and softly to me. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I like what Song of Solomon said in chapter 3:6. The question is asked. I believe it's typical of the church. The question is asked, who is this that cometh up from, amen, out of the wilderness, like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I preached one time from the Song of Solomon, from the scripture that's almost like that. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness? Amen. Leaning upon her beloved. Praise God. We may be in the wilderness tonight, but we're leaning on him. I said, we're leaning on him. Glory to God. And I tell you what he's doing. He's perfuming us with myrrh and with frankincense. The smell of the world isn't on the church, but the smell of myrrh and frankincense, the anointing, is upon the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, don't you want to be part of God's church that's anointed in this hour? Notice now something about the bush. God's presence was in the bush. God's presence was in the bush. Hallelujah. You know, it had been 40 years since Moses had run out of Egypt. It had been 40 years since he fled for his life. It had been 40 years since he'd been in real contact with God. Amen? Oh, but all of a sudden on the backside of a whole dry desert. Amen. All of a sudden there was the presence of God. Amen. There was the presence of God was in the bush. Amen. Oh, and God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, draw not nigh hither, put thy shoes from off thy feet. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God's presence was there. Hallelujah. I want you to know God hasn't left his church. I'm just going to tell you a little something. I know that as individuals, many of us are not where we need to be. I understand that there's a lack of prayer today. But when it comes to the church of Christ, when it comes to the body of Christ, friend, when it comes to the real, true, genuine church that Jesus is coming after, hey, I just want to inform you, His presence is still in the church. Amen. The church is not backslidden. The church is not defeated. The church isn't barely existing. God is still at work. His presence is in the bush. His presence is in the church. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Brother Collins, I'll never forget what you said. Amen. I don't know what I had said or what triggered your statement. Amen. But I don't remember. I was preaching on some subject and I mentioned the church some way, but I remember what you said when you said, if you put it all together, amen, of what God's doing, amen, it would read like the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. I've heard testimonies of God's deliverance since I've been here this weekend. You know what I could tell you? Amen. I could tell you, amen, that where I preached a revival just a couple of weeks ago, that God performed healing right there. Hallelujah. And could I tell you that prayer requests given at the church that we are presently attending in Alabama, that one victory report after another of what God is doing right now. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what I felt in the service tonight. As Brother Mike Allen, I looked over at Brother Jim Lawson, and I looked over at Brother Randy Coffey, and I said, I kind of think he's feeling that. Hallelujah. That didn't take a whole lot of discernment to see that God was at work around here. His presence is still in the church. Can you say amen? Matthew 18 and 20, He gives us a promise of His presence. He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. Hallelujah. Oh, is there two or three gathered in His name tonight? That's why He's been here. Hallelujah. Revelation 1 and 13. Oh, on a bleak island, when they couldn't kill Him by boiling Him in oil. Hallelujah. That old apostle of love. Amen. Oh, John. They couldn't kill Him. Amen. So they put Him on an island trying to get rid of Him. But He got in the spirit on the island called Patmos. Amen. And saw such a revelation of Christ. And saw such a revelation of things to come. Amen. But let me tell you one thing out of what he saw in Revelation 1 and 13. He saw Jesus walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks representing the churches of Asia. Jesus was walking in the midst of the church. Hey, can I tell you, 2,000 years later, He's still walking in the midst of the church tonight. He walked the aisles right here tonight. He walked the aisles right here tonight. The Holy Ghost spoke to people right here tonight. Some of it was rebuke and some of it was for good. Hallelujah. He rebuked the sin and He encouraged those that were not sinning. Hallelujah. He's walking in the midst of the church tonight. I tell you what, I don't think He's done yet either. Hallelujah. His presence is still in the church. Psalm 46 and 5. God, it's talking about His Old Testament church. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Glory to God. It is God's presence that preserves the church. It is God's presence that preserves the church. Was it not so with Daniel? Was it not so with the three Hebrews? Was it not the presence of the Lord that preserved them? Isaiah 43:2, listen, do you feel like you're about to be overflowed? Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee, and when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hallelujah. For when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. God's presence is in the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 12:6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One in the midst of thee. My God, did you hear what God said? Cry and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Woo! It's all right to holler, because he says, I am in the midst. Hallelujah. I am in your midst. Great is the Holy One in the midst of thee. You don't feel what I feel. You must not. Hallelujah. Zechariah 2:5. For I, saith the Lord, will be under her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. My God, you know what that says to me? The scriptures that I've just given you, it says, amen, that water cannot drown the church. It says fire can't burn the church. Amen. Lions can't eat the church. Jailhouses, brother and sister, can't hold it, because the presence of God is in the church. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Hallelujah. Amen. And as Brother Mike Allen already said, amen, if God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't mean that we won't have anybody against us, because the world's against us and the devil's against us. But what it means is, even though they are, what does it matter when he is in the midst? The bush burned with fire. The bush burned with fire. That's where the church is to be. That's why we had a third grade. Hallelujah. Matthew 3:11. John told about one. He said, I know I baptized you in water, but, boy, there's more to it than that. That's just first grade. Hallelujah. You that missed prayer service don't know what I'm talking about, but you that were here know what I'm talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. But he said, there's more grades to come. There's somebody greater than I. Somebody mightier than I. Somebody that I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose their shoe latchet. Oh, he's going to do something. He'll more than baptize you in water. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and something else. Somebody tell me what it is.
Fire!
Fire! My God, did you ever sing that chorus? It's just like fire shut up in my bones. My Lord have mercy. mercy. Hallelujah. I've felt that a few times. I've felt that fire. Jeremiah felt that fire. Hallelujah. He got so discouraged with people that wouldn't listen to him preach, he declared he wouldn't preach no more. He said, I will not speak in his name anymore. But he said, I couldn't help myself. His word was like fire shut up in my bones, my Lord. And I tell you, Acts 2 and 3 tells us that cloven tongues, like as fire set up on each of them, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This bush burned with fire. I want to tell you something. Oh, God baptized his church in the fire. And he expects it to be on fire. But notice a strange phenomenon here. Though it was on fire, it didn't burn up. Behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now that's strange. When something catches on fire, it burns up. Now Moses has spent 40 years over here. He's seen probably drier times than what this was. He had seen bushes catch on fire. That's how come we have forest fires. It gets dry. And something, lightning or something, causes it and it just starts burning. Well, that's what happened here. That's what he had seen before. It wasn't no unusual sight. He didn't even pay much attention to it. I got a feeling by what I can read here, I don't even think he paid much attention to it till after a time went by and he looked back over there, and when it should have been burned up and the thing was still burning, he said, now wait a minute here. That's had time to burn. The bush was not consumed. And when it had time to burn up and hadn't burned up yet, that's when he said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why? The bush is not consumed. Why the bush is not burnt? I've seen some people, they thought it looked like they'd really caught on fire. They're gonna take the world by the tail and swing it. I've seen some preachers, evangelists come in pulling a truck and trailer, and they think, whew, I'd like to do that. Well, honey, let me tell you something. You better be in the will of God. All they see is the shining chrome wheels and the no punching a time clock. They don't know what's behind the scenes. I could tell you a few things. I mean, I think I could. I've done it a few years. Amen. They just think so much of that, they just going to launch out. Boy, they catch on. Ooh, they're going to take the world. And in 6 months' time, I've known some of them to backslide. Jumped out there and found out they couldn't make it and had too much pride to admit it and ended up backsliding. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. We don't need somebody to catch on fire, amen, that's going to fizzle out before the next service time comes. We need somebody that'll catch on fire and keep on burning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, there's been some around the highway of holiness that shouted and run the aisles, but they couldn't last from revival to revival. Well, I want to tell you, God can touch your life and you can commit to Him that you can catch on fire and burn right on. Hallelujah. Praise God. I see some faces around here that some of you have gotten saved since I've been in Alabama. And I notice that I'm back tonight and still sees them same faces. Thank God for you. Keep burning. Hallelujah. Don't get consumed by the fire. Burn on. Hallelujah. God's preservation of the church is seen in that it was not burned up. Hallelujah. Amen. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. When the fire's on and the heat's on, amen, I want to tell you, amen, all that does is God increases His church in the midst of the fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. You know, I mean, nations have conspired to overthrow the church, but I want you to know she still goes on. Hallelujah. She still goes on. Amen. Her enemies have been entombed and sepulchered one after another, and she still goes on. Amen. Oh, Pharaoh and his host has sank like lead in the mighty waters. Canaanitish kings have been destroyed. Amalek was blotted out of existence. Amen. Belshazzar is slain. Herod's been eaten of worms, and the church continues on. Glory to God. They put it in jail. Amen. But it come out of jail. Amen. With a saved jailer. Amen. A convert and his whole family baptized after the midnight hour, and a church established. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. They tried to persecute it. Amen. And drive it out of extinction, but all it did was spread to Samaria. Amen. And the uttermost parts of the earth. And now the whole world is hearing the gospel of Christ. And what they tried to stamp out. Hallelujah. Woo! A little spark went over here and ignited. Try to stomp on it over here, and a spark flew over here and ignited. Amen. And I want to tell you, there's not a whole lot of the world left that hasn't heard the gospel. And they didn't put the fire out. It kept a burning. It's not consumed. 2,000 years have come and gone. I want you to know the church is still prospering. Hallelujah. Amen. The bush was a holy place. The bush was a holy place. Moses, don't come any closer. That's far enough. Matter of fact, right where you're standing, you can slip your shoes off. You are now standing on holy ground. Hallelujah. The bush was a holy place. You know what made that place holy? It wasn't that it was a little sacred spot of ground that, matter of fact, that spot wasn't any more holy than any place I can take you up and down Route 4. But what made that holy was the presence of the fire and the presence of God. Hallelujah. And it was a holy place. I want to tell you, no, we sing that song sometimes. We're standing in His presence on holy ground. And when we get in His presence, brother, I want to tell you, we are on holy ground. Hallelujah. 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 His presence makes things holy. I want to tell you something. When you get in the presence of God, you're not worried about what you can get by with. When you get in the presence of God, it's so holy. It is so holy. It is so holy that you see how far you really are. I never read of anybody in the Bible that got in the direct presence of God and saw such a, you know, but what they didn't fall on their face. Abraham got in His presence and said, I am but dust and ashes. Isaiah, the great prophet and man of God that he was, got in his presence and said, I'm unclean. That great apostle that saw the revelation got in his presence and fell at his feet as a dead man. When you get in his presence, I don't know how much wisdom this is, but I'm going to tell it. My grandfather told me, and I am not saying yay or nay about what I'm about to tell you, I'm just telling you what happened. My grandfather told me that in a general assembly of the Church of God, years and years and years ago, the question had come up on rings, wedding bands. I told you I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm simply telling you what happened. We want to fuss and bicker. Let me tell you, when you get in the presence of God, they were trying to vote in wedding bands in the General Assembly, and there was dissension over it. And my grandfather was there in the meeting that they brought it up the first time. And he said that all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came into that place. And no longer was men trying to get it passed, but some of them even took out their gold watches, pocket watches. Pocket watches. And they piled them up as a memorial. As the holy presence of God came in there so strong. Do you hear me? Amen. That's not saying pocket watches is wrong. I'm saying the issue. And they was fighting over an issue. And the presence of God came so strong and so real. He said, I can tell you how holy my presence is. And they even got rid of pocket watches. I only said that to say, when the presence of God comes, there's a holiness about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's times that I may kid around with folks. I may say things in jest or joke. But when the presence of God is there, I don't joke. Because there's a holiness about his presence. Hallelujah. The bush was a holy place. You know what would make it easier on holiness preachers is for people to get in his presence. That's right. Brother Roger, there's things some preachers would never have to preach on again if folks would get in the presence of God. Just his presence lets you know some things ain't right. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's done got quiet. But I feel his presence. Hallelujah, I feel his presence. You can get ready to give us a song. I'm finished. But all the presence of God is holy. The bush was a holy place because the presence of God was there. That's what makes this church holy. Nothing in this building but what in your house at home. But the presence of God makes this holy and separates it. The tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory, he said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And finally, in conclusion tonight, one more thing let me say about this bush. God's voice was heard from the bush. God spoke. God spoke. He spoke tonight, didn't he? He's still talking to the church.
Hallelujah. And it isn't always bless, bless, bless. God bless you. You're doing so good, honey. Every time God speaks isn't a blessing. Sometimes He rebukes and chastises and says, you're coming up short, but I'm calling you to move on closer. Hallelujah. Hey, and before I ever preach tonight, God spoke in the midst of the church. And God said, you have sinned, and I want you to repent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God turned around and then said to those that have fasted and prayed, and you've prayed for that lost loved one, I've seen your fasting and I've seen your tears and I've heard your prayers and I've spared them because you've prayed. God spoke out of the midst of the church. Hallelujah. He speaks from His Word, but sometimes the Holy Ghost speaks to us. Hallelujah. Right out of the midst of it. Never, never do I ever want to lose the place where God speaks. Stand with us, please. And when God came down and God got the attention of His man and called him to do a work, God said there's a reason for this bush being on fire. There was a purpose in it burning. It was to get you over here so I could call you and talk to you. Because I plan to do something about my people that's praying down there in the land of Egypt. I want you to know, Moses, I have seen their affliction. And I have heard their cry. And I am come down to deliver them. Hallelujah. Oh, God wants to use everybody here tonight. We're not all going to preach from behind the Bible stand, but God wants to use everybody here tonight for in some capacity for the kingdom of God. Do you believe that? He wants to use you to be a light and a witness to win somebody. Amen. God says, I'm choosing you, Moses. And Moses stuttered. And he threw that up as an excuse before God. But God just, through a couple of things that He done, just kind of voided the excuses, didn't He, Brother Roger? Hallelujah. Got Moses ready to go. Hey, quit stuttering around here. Quit using your excuses here and just be used to God. Get to the place where God can use you. He wants to. He wants to. He wants to use you to bring deliverance to somebody. I said He wants to use you to bring deliverance to somebody. Just as He called Moses to bring deliverance to Israel, He wants you to bring deliverance to somebody around you. Amen. Oh, sing for us. Sing for us. Let's gather in the altars tonight. Let's call on Him. Let's be used of Him. Let's pray till He touches us to use us.